Friday Night Dino Bat.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
2 o'clock here in H-Town. Jake Asbin in for Joel Blank on the Press Box. Nick Sciarra is to my right. And producing the show this afternoon is Tyler Scott as we take you till the Blitz at 4 o'clock. Astros took game one against the Red Sox on Memorial Day, 11-2. Bats came alive as we're now a third of the way through the season. And I think if you're an Astros fan, though you do have a weakness in that bullpen, you got to feel great about the way this lineup is mashing. Got to feel great about the fact you get Yuli and Alvarez back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, and, buddy.
And right now with the way the rotation's throwing, Nick, I mean, you feel good, you know, 1 through 5, dare I say 1 through 7 when everyone's healthy, about the rotation and where they're at right now.
No, I'm really happy. Can you believe Renfro was the only guy who didn't record a strikeout in that game yesterday for the Red Sox? Like, I mean, that is crazy. He threw strikeouts to everybody. And look, it's very rewarding when you can see this pitching staff do well, because we're all realistic about what the bullpen is, and they've been struggling, and Strom is very well aware of it. I mean, he even said after the first game on Friday night against the Padres that he wished he could have rested the bullpen a little bit, but he didn't expect Tatis Jr. to do what he did and go into extra innings. So I mean, if the bullpen can get it together, as he mentioned in that little audio clip after the Friday night game, you know, if they can just get that confidence back, man, this team is going to be so much fun to watch. And I haven't been to an Astros game yet, not as a fan or as a credentialed media member yet, but it looks like it's popping off in there, and it looks fun.
What are you waiting
for? At Minute Maid Park. I don't know.
You're an Astros fan.
That's kind of Palillo's thing. I am an Astros fan, and I'm definitely going to catch a game. Believe me, I want to go. I'm all about 100% capacity. And checking things out, I'm all about.
Are you a vaccinated man, Nick?
I am now.
Oh, you are. So you, 2 shots in?
2 shots in.
Wow.
My second shot was about a month ago.
And how do you feel?
I feel fine. I didn't.
You don't have any like spider webs. You can't go like this with your hand and you know start swinging on walls.
I don't feel no chip in me or anything like that. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good.
Love to hear it. So the Astros 29-24, half game out of first place. They play the Red Sox tonight. It will be once again Garrett Richards for Boston against Luis Garcia, who's pitched well, 3-3, 2.94 ERA, came into the year obviously as an unknown, and he's done a very nice job. And I'll say this before we move off the Astros and get back to a significant day for the Texans and Deshaun Watson. The Astros, the way they hit, Nick, a throwback team, the way baseball is played. They lead Major League Baseball in putting the ball in play. I know it's a novel concept to not strike out, but the Astros do it better than any team in the league. And now they lead MLB in runs scored after they put up 11 yesterday, and they're fun to watch hit. Because it's not just boom or bust, every guy just swinging out of their tuchus. They put the ball in play. They use the full field. They have a bunch of guys that hit close to 300 or even above 300. I mean, it's crazy to talk about a team being old school that puts the ball in play. But with the way the game is played right now, that's exactly what the Houston Astros are offensively.
Yeah, and they're fun to watch more than anything else. Because everybody has their own opinions on what they can do to make the game better. The fact that they can do that in this type of game right now in today's game is really exciting. That's why I just hope that these bats stay together. The core is there, and nobody really leaves, because they're still fun to watch offensively. Sometimes you struggle to watch the game when you watch the bullpen and the pitchers, but offensively, so much fun to watch.
Jose Altuve got it rolling yesterday with a big home run. This was Altuve after the game on how, hey, we needed a win where our bats just exploded.
No, we needed a game like this. You know, it's always good to score a lot of runs and you know, just win the game. You know, this is why we're here. I feel like we're playing good. You know, we're trying to play better every day. And, you know, I like where we're at.
And I'll tell you what, go back to that start by Greinke on Sunday. Mm-hmm. 8 strong, gave the Astros a chance to win that game. And then you win yesterday. Instead of, you know, looking at a sweep over the weekend to a really good Padres team after your bullpen melts down and Fernando Tatis hit a ball that might still be traveling at a Minute Maid Park. You win that game on Sunday. You win yesterday. And now you're trying to put together a winning streak here. Win 3 in a row, a third of the way through the season. Of course, the weakness remains the bullpen. But I'm more confident about the Astros figuring out the bullpen than I would be if it was, well, they don't have enough starters or they don't have enough offense. You know, offense is down around the game. Not with the Astros, though. They hit. They have depth in their pitching. It's going to be on James Click to find some relievers for that bullpen. But I think a third of the way through the year, overall, if you're an Astros fan, you should feel good about where this team's at.
I do. But how good do you feel about James Click? I mean, I guess the one obvious move is to add a veteran arm. But how much do you think Crane is involved? I think James Click has had a history of kind of being on the cheap and not spending too much money. I think that's pretty evident. I mean, assuming Crane is going to let James Click do what he does, I mean, do you think he's really going to be able to add anything to this bullpen within the near future?
I think a lot of it comes down to, well, how far over the luxury tax, if at all, will the Astros be willing to go? Will Jim Crane be able to, you know, open the wallet here and write some checks to go over the tax? And, you know, who's available? At this point, you're not going to get any relievers that are going to be able to help you. I know Astro fans want help for this bullpen. I get it. But you got to be closer to the deadline. Look at the standings right now. Look how many teams are still in the mix for a playoff spot as long as there's two wild card spots. So we're not there just yet. But this team right now, I think they're going to be in the divisional race all year with the A's. The A's are really good. And I think ultimately, you know, if you look at where this team's at, it's easier to me to find a couple relievers near the deadline than it would be, we need another starter. Oh, we need another bat. That's hard to get. That costs a lot, and it's not easy to fit in under your luxury tax. It's way easier to find relievers, to me anyway, than it would be to find a starter or, you know, another offensive bat.
It is. So it is kind of an unfair task for Click, but I also think he is. I'm not going to use the word neutered, but he is definitely impacted by Crane's advice. You're talking about a guy who's coming off of a scandal, but, you know, I mean, I'm not acting like he's out of money here. You know, it's not like the dividends that from the World Series back in 2017. Yes, it's 4 years ago, but a lot of times when you win a World Series, those dividends pay off for a year or 2 years after the fact. So it's not like they're completely broke or anything like that. But I just don't know how much they're willing to go over the luxury tax, as you mentioned. So, but it will be interesting to see for sure. Did you want to get into some Texan stuff?
Yes. So today is June 1st. So, Nick, let me tell you, do you know why today is significant if you are a fan of the Houston Texans?
Why? Tell me.
Because Deshaun Watson could now be traded, and I'm not going to bore you with the nerd numbers, but basically a lot of Deshaun Watson's dead cap hit can now be deferred into future years, meaning if the Texans were to trade old number 4, all of a sudden he would not count against their salary cap as much this year, meaning they could sign more washed-up running backs to that running back room because they'd have more salary cap space. In all seriousness, though, if they wanted to trade Deshaun, it's now easier to do so. This also means it's easier to trade Julio Jones if you're the Falcons, Aaron Rodgers if you're the Packers, Russell Wilson if you're the Seahawks. June 1st is that day where it is now easier to manipulate your salary cap with guys under contract. So right here in town, you look at Deshaun Watson, if he had not been traded before the draft and the legal stuff never came out, then I think that would be the story right now. Like, when's it going to happen? You know, why did they wait so long? They should have done it before the draft, but is it going to happen right now? Now, Nick, with 22 civil lawsuits filed against the guy, I'm telling you, me personally, I'd be shocked if he gets moved until there is some sort of clarity on what the heck is happening between the NFL and Deshaun and the 22 civil suits he's now fighting.
Yeah, I mean, my little guess or little take that I had was if you get a suspension, all right, plus the end, and a suspension from the NFL, plus the civil lawsuits coming to an end, this is before I knew that Deshaun Watson wouldn't get deposed until 2022. Those two things equal increased value for Deshaun Watson, in my opinion. I just believe that. I think if you get the suspension and the punitive damages out of the way, and you finally come to a close with the civil lawsuit, why can't we still talk about Deshaun Watson being a very valuable player when it comes down to trades? And I think it's pretty evident. The guy doesn't want to be in a Houston Texans uniform, so I think in all likelihood he probably will never play another down in a Houston Texans uniform ever again. So I think once those two things really come to a close, or at least come to a close, that's when you can start talking about the value of Deshaun Watson and how much he really can command in the event that he really doesn't want to be a Houston Texan anymore.
He's Nick Sciarra. I'm Jake Asman, filling in for Joel Blank here on the Press Box. Here's the question, too, you have with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. If the Texans could trade him right now, would they even be able to get value for the guy? Is there enough teams that would still be in on Deshaun Watson? I hear mixed reports on that.
I think,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I think a team would take him if it's, you know, one first-round pick, which is a far cry from what it was, you know, a couple months ago when we were talking about maybe 4 first-round picks in Quinnen Williams from the New York Jets as an example, right? So what is Deshaun Watson's value right now when the team that takes him on eventually is going to probably have to deal with him getting suspended for, I don't know, 6 to 8, maybe a full year. I don't know how many games.
It could be, but you're right, yeah.
And the team that takes him on also doesn't know whether or not the NFL would then step in and say, whoa. We are not having a guy with 22 civil lawsuits play quarterback in our league. He will get paid. We will put him on the on the commissioner's exempt list, and that's it. Like, we're not letting them suit up, so we have to deal with, you know, that spotlight on Watson every week on whichever team he's playing for. So I think we're still in a standing pattern here, a holding pattern, I should say, because what NFL team for a guy with that many lawsuits?
I'm not. I mean, the thing, I feel like it's the Texans that would, because they're known to be the choir boy type of team. But if I'm a general manager of a team outside the Houston Texans, yeah, I'm taking that chance and saying, you know what? I'll give you a first-round pick for Deshaun Watson. I'm not taking only a first-round pick for Deshaun Watson. There's no way that I'm doing that. But it doesn't hurt for you to try in the event that you're a general manager for an NFL team. I don't think the value's impacted that much, man. And I just think it would be really dumb if they pulled the trigger on that and say, you know what? Let's just move off. You know, just we're tired of all the stories and the headlines. We're tired of looking bad. Let's just give Deshaun Watson up, who we just signed to a massive contract for one first round pick. I just don't see why anybody would do that.
You can't do it. If you're the Texans, you're going to trade him. You need to try and get as fair value as possible. When in reality, you're trading away a franchise quarterback. You're never going to get equal value for that guy.
But do you don't think there's a team out there that's willing to take Deshaun Watson and put him on their roster, even though the civil lawsuits are still pending?
Not right now, because which team is going to trade away that many picks for a guy that could get suspended?
But when he's suspended, at least you know those numbers. You know, okay, he might be suspended for 6 to 8 weeks, right? You at least know that. You know what you're going to pay, what you won't have to pay. You at least know that going into it, and you still have a healthy Deshaun.
Is that worth, though, trading away 3 ones to get, you know, a compromised Deshaun Watson for the first year you have him? Like, if you're the Miami Dolphins, you have 2, and you want to give him a chance to be the guy. Does it make sense now to add Deshaun Watson when he's suspended and that's hanging over to him?
I think it is. I think most of the blowback goes back towards the Texans. Obviously, the new team that puts him on the roster is going to get a lot of hate and a lot of blowback as well.
What if he's guilty? I mean, that's a question you got to ask still. I mean, well, he's accused of 22 lawsuits.
The burden of proof in civil lawsuits is way easier. It's different. It's different. Even if he is guilty, it doesn't matter.
I just think until there's clarity on whether or not he is going to be suspended or the NFL is going to place him on the exempt list, I think, you know, even though today's a significant day for a lot of moves around the league, Deshaun Watson and the Texans, same old from where we've been. He's Nick Sherrara. I'm Jake Asman, filling in for Joel Blank here on the Press Box. Lots still to get into. Julio Jones could be dealt, and he could be coming to NRG Stadium maybe twice a year if he goes to a team in the AFC South. We'll talk about that next here on the Press Box on 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sherrara.
Can you hear me?
I got you. This is your favorite uncle. What's going on, bro?
Man, nothing much. About to go meet up with my brother. What's happening with you?
Man, look. You want to go to the Cowboys, Julio? Or you want to stay in Atlanta?
Oh, man. Nah, I'm out of there, man.
He's out of there.
Oh, are you going to... Ideally, where would you like to go?
Right now, I want to win.
Okay. Yeah. Well, don't go to Dallas. If you go, you ain't winning in Dallas, Julio.
Listen, come on, man. You already know. I know.
Okay.
Can you remind him we're on television?
Ask
right
him why we wore the Dallas.
Listen. You know how people is, man, with all that going on with the picture.
Yeah.
And all that stuff like that.
Okay.
Man, I ain't never been on that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Ah, that was Julio Jones on live TV. Not knowing he was being taped on the air there or on live TV.
Yeah, that was live, right? That wasn't taped.
Oh, that was live, all right. That was on FS1's Undisputed, basically telling the world that he's done with Atlanta. It's the Press Box here on ESPN 97.5. Jake Asman in for Joel Blank. Nick Sherrara with me here to my right. And, Nick, you hear that from Julio, and we play that for you because that's kind of, you know, where we're at with the situation, right? The ball gets rolling when Julio publicly comes out, whether or not he knew he was on live TV or not.
Right.
I first thought maybe that was scripted. He wanted that out there on purpose. Regardless, we know Julio Jones has no interest in returning to the Falcons. We know the Falcons are actively trying to trade him. And the two teams that I keep hearing that could get Julio Jones are right here in the AFC South. That would be the Tennessee Titans or the Indianapolis Colts. And here's the question I look at with this Julio Jones situation. How crazy is it going to be? And it shouldn't be that crazy. It probably is not even going to be that surprising. But is 32-year-old Julio Jones about to go for more than what prime DeAndre Hopkins just went for a year ago, leaving the Texans to go to the Cardinals? Because I'll tell you what, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, Nick, they want a first-round pick for Julio Jones. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. Say they end up, though, with just a second-round pick from Indy, a second-round pick from Tennessee. That's a better deal than what DeAndre Hopkins went for. Because I'll tell you what, the Texans not only got a second-round pick back for DeAndre Hopkins, but they also had to take on David Johnson and his awful contract. So that, to me, is like a net negative. I'd rather just the pick and not David Johnson. I feel like Julio Jones, who's 5 or 6 years older than D-Hop and has missed way more time than Hopkins ever has, I think he's going to end up going more than DeAndre Hopkins went for, and it's going to be yet another indictment on how bad at being a general manager William O'Brien was when he was, you know, basically piloting the Texans into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who made his, you know, his rookie year was back in 2011. He hasn't missed, he hasn't played less than 15 games, I believe, in the past four seasons. Only played 9 games last year. Looks like he was targeted 68 times, 51 receptions, and 771 yards. So there's certainly a drop-off when you go back to the 2 years previous to that. 1394, 1677, 1444 in terms of yards in those 3 years prior to last year of 2020. I don't know. A lot of people are convinced that the drop-off that you saw last year is a massive drop-off and a massive drop-off for a reason, and that Julio Jones is probably not the same Julio Jones that he has been for most of his career with the Atlanta Falcons. He is a guy that I'm willing to take a chance on. Do I think he could be a number one a wide receiver? I can see why if you're a wide receiver coach or a head coach or a quarterback coach, you look at that situation and you say, you know what? I want to take a chance on a guy like Julio Jones. It's just one bad year, right? Le'Veon Bell, didn't he like sit out for a whole year? And he's a running back. They take way more damage. But when he came back, he didn't do that bad. So I don't know how you look at the Julio Jones situation, but I also don't know if you can command a first-round pick for him either.
I don't think he's going for a first-round pick, but if he goes for a two, then it's just another major indictment on how historically awful the DeAndre Hopkins trade will end up being. It's already bad now. But when you think about Julio Jones, who is 32 years old, coming off a year in which he only played 9 games, going for potentially more than what DeAndre Hopkins went for, it's just another major indictment on the Houston Texans and Bill O'Brien and also Jack Easterby. Because even though O'Brien was the general manager, Easterby was still involved in personnel decisions. O'Brien told you as much last year before he ended up getting fired. So the idea that, you know, they rid themselves of O'Brien and it's a clean slate, it can't technically be a clean slate if Easterby is still there overseeing things with Nick Caserio. So when Julio Jones ends up going for more than DeAndre Hopkins, I'm telling you, it's going to be yet another damning look for how just historically inept that trade was. And also, remember, when DeAndre Hopkins got traded, it came out of nowhere. Like, we didn't even know that he was going to be traded. We didn't hear anything. Julio, we've known he's available. The Falcons have put it out there. They want every team calling to try and drive up the price. The Texans basically traded DeAndre Hopkins in, like, a cloud of shadows where Ron Rivera came out last year and said he didn't even know Hopkins was available.
Of course.
So if you're the Texans and you're going to trade Hopkins, which is dumb enough in the first place, but say you are going to trade him. I mean, it makes sense to try and get every team involved so you could drive up the price. Instead, they were in such a rush to trade the guy, they ended up with a second-round pick and the corpse of David Johnson and his horrendous contract.
Well, Bill O'Brien will never be a guy that will admit why. You know, he'll never admit that he made a mistake. It was clearly a situation, in my opinion, that it was personal and it was a power struggle, and he wanted to let him know, look, I'm Bill O'Brien, I run things around here, and guess what? If I want to trade one of the best wide receivers in the game, I can do that because I'm Bill O'Brien and I just did that. And when he had the exit interview, when he got fired, they literally asked, hey, do you have any regrets, any trades or anything like that? And he literally said, man, we looked at the numbers and the analytics and it said that it made sense to do this trade. And the reports I see is that he was on the phone with the Cardinals for like an hour or 30 minutes or something like that. Not to mention the point you just made about Ron Rivera. He didn't even know that Hopkins was on the market.
I mean, it's just that's organizational malpractice that if you're going to trade somebody, you don't call every team and say, hey, this guy is available.
Of course you do.
If you're good enough, and I bring this up because as long as Easterby's still in charge here, how do we know the same thing doesn't happen with Deshaun? That they don't go out there and call every team that might be interested and say, hey, make your best offer. Like, you got to drive up the price for this guy. And I'm telling you, when Julio goes for more at age 32 than a prime DeAndre Hopkins did coming off one of his best seasons with the Texans, it's going to be yet another major indictment on how just inept that trade was. Like, it will never make sense. It never makes sense. It never made sense at the time. And I'm telling you, as time continues to move on here, we're going to look back at that trade as one of the worst trades, not just in, you know, this city's history. It's one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL.
Agreed.
When you think about it. It's that bad.
Agreed. I'm with you on that. I think it's that bad of a trade. And Bill O'Brien is over there in Alabama on a winning squad now, probably looking back and just laughing because he knows he's got a good gig and he doesn't have to worry about this mess anymore.
He's got a good gig until, you know, he does something that ticks Mr. Saban off.
Well, that's what we're all waiting for.
And then
for.
He starts getting yelled at on the sidelines like Lane Kiffin did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know the Texan fan is ready for that.
Oh, yeah.
The Saban tirade at B.O.B.
I'll be looking for that on Twitter. That one time Bill O'Brien is not paying attention or makes a mistake as a coordinator and Nick Saban just goes off. I think everybody wants to see that. But, yeah, that was clearly personal for Bill O'Brien. And he made it personal. He made it a power struggle. He made it more about himself as opposed to the team, something that he was stressing all along as a quarterback. This is about team, right? T-E-A-M, team, team, team. Well, if you really care about the team, you don't trade away a guy like Hopkins for that. You just don't do it. You just don't do it.
Large G011 writes it on Twitch, and we thank you all for watching on Twitch. If you can't get to your dials and listen on 97.5 or 92.5, he goes, do you think – of all the NFL GMs, do you think they just collectively just dismiss Bill O'Brien trades as barometers of player value? Like, imagine if any team that's negotiating with the Atlanta Falcons here is like, well, you know, last year, another star wide receiver, he only went for a second-round pick and a bad contract. Like, is that what it's going to take to get Julio? Do you think the Falcons then respond and be like, no, that was Bill O'Brien. Ignore everything that guy did. That's the same guy that also gave away a third-round pick for Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, it's just every trade the Texans have made over the last year, it's organizational malpractice. It makes no sense how O'Brien was able to have this much power and be coach and GM. It's put this team in a spot, and we talked about it earlier, where I would take the 2002 Houston Texans right now over the team that they're going to put on the field in 2021.
Yeah, you've made that point pretty. And look, and what makes me so aggravated about that whole situation is that you're already being pulled in about 15 different directions as the head coach of an NFL team, right? You're working with all the coaches, the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator. You're doing all that. And now you want to take the responsibility of a general manager and add that to your plate, and you think you're going to do well? Like, in most cases, that just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You're already being pulled in about 15 or 20 different directions. I don't understand that about people. People already have a good job, and it's about the power struggle. And then the next thing you know what? Not only do I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. Well, you're already busy. Like, you're already being pulled in about 15 or 20 different directions. Like, you can't handle both jobs, man. So why are you trying? But he really wanted to. He had the air of ownership, and he got to make moves that perhaps most coaches were not able to do. Are not allowed to do.
Here's the prediction, Nick. Does Julio Jones, yes or no, get traded for more than what the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins for?
Oh, man. I'm going to say no.
I say yes. I think he goes for a second, like a conditional fourth or something, and we're going to look back and go, what?
Man.
What? But that's the state of the Houston Texans. He's Nick Sherrara. I'm Jake Asman. I'm in for Joel Blake here on the Press Box as we take you to the Blitz at 4 o'clock. Tyler Scott is producing. Plenty still to get into here as we continue on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we keep it moving on the press box, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com. Nick Sciarra with you, my man Jake Asman filling in for Joel Blank all the way until 4 p.m. before the Blitz takes over. And I'm assuming the Blitz is normal, right? Fred and AJ, 4 to 7, nothing different. Tyler nods yes. So 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I know a lot of people get turned off with NBA talk. How much NBA do you talk on your program on Sports Map Radio? By the way, when is your show on Sports Map Radio for those for those who haven't listened to you before? I know the last time you're on with Ennis, you filled in for Ennis.
Correct. So I'm on Sports Map during the weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. our time here.
Cool. So. And you can download the app, Sports Map Radio, and tune in to Jake Asman. Now, we all know that James Harden has been a big part of this city for a long, long time before being traded to the Brooklyn Nets. We know that there's been a lot of criticism in regards to James Harden as a player and as a leader for the Houston Rockets. And it's been nothing but headlines about James Harden is a quitter. James Harden ruins things in the fourth quarter. James Harden is no Harden at all when it comes down to the playoffs. As a Houston Rockets fan, do you move on from that situation? Do you want James Harden to win or do you want James Harden to lose? What say you?
Oh, my God. I am a very vindictive person by nature. So let me tell you, I am. If I was a Rockets fan, and I'm not, so maybe the Rocket fan will have a different take on this. But sure. Nick, you are a Rockets fan.
Yes.
I would be rooting against James Harden with every fiber in my body. I'm not rooting for this guy to have success after he quit on the team. He showed up to camp, you know, 50 pounds overweight. He's partying in Vegas and Atlanta, and he's not being there with his teammates. Look, there's a right and wrong way to conduct business if you want to trade. He went about it the exact wrong way and still got what he wanted and got rewarded for it. So I don't want to see that guy have success. The best thing for the Houston Rockets is for the Nets to have a flame out here in the playoffs, flame out again next year, and all three of those guys, when they have opt-outs in their contract, they say, you know what? We don't want to play together anymore. We'll see you later. We're going to go play somewhere else. And then the Rockets have all the Nets picks, so when they go back to being awful, then you're cooking as far as the rebuild goes. So yeah. That's the dream scenario. But as far as, oh, well, you know, Harden did so much for the city. Let's root for him to bring a title to Brooklyn. I mean, no, I'm sorry. If he left gracefully, if he left maybe like Hakeem did, or he left, you know, in different circumstances, then I see the argument on rooting for a guy that gave you a lot of great memories here to do well. But there's no chance. If I'm a Rockets fan, I want to see James Harden win with the Brooklyn Nets.
I agree. Despite the success he's had, if you look at the winning records and the fact that they made the playoffs each and every year with him in uniform, I can see how that's very frustrating as a Rockets fan to look at James Harden and say, you know what? He's actually doing well with the Brooklyn Nets. I'm with you. There's no way in hell I'm rooting for James Harden. But I'm not necessarily your typical Rockets fan in the sense I'm going to get that angry about a situation. We know NBA players have leverage. We know star players have leverage. Hell, you could be a below mediocre NBA player and have leverage. That's the way it works. The TV dollars are being pumped into the league, and that's what happens. Even during the pandemic, they're going to be able to generate revenue. Because they're able to generate revenue and TV dollars, they're able to give these star players big contracts. And when you do that, you just give them the leverage. And that's exactly what he did. He goes, I want to get out of here. And I have these two or three teams that he listed, and he got exactly what he wanted. And look, he was kind of sprung into this leadership role coming off of that six-man role back in with OKC. And maybe he wasn't ready for it, man. Maybe he just, some people, you know, label him as an introvert. Some people say he's socially awkward. Whatever the case may be, perhaps he just wasn't ready for that spotlight. Going over to Brooklyn, you know, that spotlight is dim a little bit. You still got KD, you still got Kyrie, and the pressure's off a little bit. So now the Brooklyn Nets fan base can sit there and kind of, I guess, enjoy all the offensive, because he is a great offensive player, and that is fun to watch. They can enjoy the greatness of James Harden. As a Houston Rockets fan, you should absolutely root against him. Although with the advent of the Davis injury, that makes things really interesting.
And let me tell you as well, one thing that never gets talked about enough in this town is the fact that James Harden's the reason Chris Paul's not here right now.
Oh, yeah.
When you watch Chris Paul play and see his value, what he did for the Thunder last year, nearly beating James Harden in the Rockets with far less talent in the bubble last year in a seven-game series, and then goes to Phoenix after they haven't made the playoffs in a decade and takes them all the way to the 2 seed in the West, to me, Chris Paul, A, should have gotten MVP votes, and he didn't. He was not a finalist, which to me is asinine. But B, the reason why the Rockets are in the mess they're in is because Harden didn't want to play with Paul because Paul had the audacity to maybe hold James Harden accountable for actions on the court and off the court. He didn't want to play with Paul anymore, so Paul gets jettisoned out for Westbrook, who Harden wanted to play with. And a year in, Westbrook's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to play with James. So, you know, James Harden not only, you know, forced himself out of here, but the moves that he wanted the Rockets to make, and they listened, and they caved to all his demands. He then turned around and said, yeah, you guys did everything I wanted, but I still want to go to Brooklyn. See ya. And he forced his hand and got what he wanted. So the last thing I want is Harden to be rewarded for forcing a trade out of here and basically being, you know, player GM and putting the Rockets in a situation where they traded their future to try and win with Harden and Westbrook, and it blew up in their face after one season.
And I agree. And Joel and I mentioned the Chris Paul situation when that happened quite a bit. We mentioned the blow up that they had after the game in the playoffs, the fact that they weren't getting along. You saw it from video. There were times where James Harden was running the offense and Chris Paul was totally along for the ride. But when Chris Paul would run the offense, James Harden looked a little lazy, like he didn't want to be a part of the play or whatever the case may be. Look, the one thing that I did say about that whole situation, yeah, James Harden should absolutely get blamed for driving away a guy, a point guard like Chris Paul. But once the situation became a situation where their relationship was not going to be fixed, as the general manager, Daryl Morey, he had to make a choice. He had to either choose Chris Paul or he had to choose James Harden. And when you look at those two situations, Chris Paul had just as much of an injury-prone label back then than he does now. You were talking about the younger, better player in James Harden. You had to stick with James Harden and trade away Chris Paul. It's not fair. James Harden clearly forced their hand. But if you had to choose, if you're a guy who has to make that decision and these two guys clearly cannot get it along anymore, you have to choose James Harden in that situation and then trade away Chris Paul. Dumb. Aggravating as a Rockets fan, but you have to do that.
Look, in hindsight, you're right. They had no choice but to do it how it ended up working out. But that's why it's like, if we're going to listen to you, James, and we're going to cater to your demands, you don't want to play with Chris Paul
anymore. I'm not going to send you to a team where you want to go to.
Well, then, you know, you can't ask out of your contract when you got 3 years left on it. Like, yeah. I mean, no one talks about that. I get it. NBA players have power. They could force, you know, whatever, you know, situation it seems like they want to go to. I understand all that. Doesn't mean as a fan you have to like it, though. So if you're a Rockets fan, I mean, you tell me, how could you root for that guy to have success?
I can't. There's no way. But it's a cheat code over there in Brooklyn, man. Chances are they're going to win.
The only way the Nets don't win is obviously an injury. And I don't know. Milwaukee surprises us and maybe takes the Nets to a 6 or 7 game series. And they're so beat up by the time they play, hopefully, a healthy Sixers team in the conference finals. Maybe they don't get by Philly. It's just you watch the Nets, and if those guys are playing at their best, no one's stopping them. I mean, they give up a lot of points, but you don't really need to play all that much defense when you can score 140 points a night.
Yeah, and the way Kevin Durant just shoots over people. Kyrie is unbelievable. He's so fluid when he penetrates to the basket. Then you have an unbelievable three-point shooter and an offensive player in James Harden. We all know about his defensive issues, but still, what he brings to the table from an offensive standpoint, man, you could supplement what he lacks on defense by other members on the team, and that's what they got. They got the depth. I mean, could you imagine if LaMarcus didn't retire? Like, I mean, that team would be insane. That would be everything would have been so insane with that team. The depth is just insane with that team. So, but to answer the question and for the topic of discussion, no, I would not be rooting for James Harden, and I hope he loses, and I hope the Nets lose. I just picked them to win.
I want to hear from the Rockets fans on this. 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. And then, of course, I'm on Twitter at Jake Asman, filling in for Joel here. Nick, you're on Twitter at The Producer Nick. Are you rooting for James Harden in the playoffs? I mean, and once again, I'm a vindictive guy. Maybe there's people listening that are like, yeah, you know, he did what he had to do to leave. And you know, we wish him all the best. People are a lot nicer down here than they are, you know, where I'm from. You know, if it's me, I am, you know, rooting with, once again, every fiber in my body against that guy. I don't want to see him have any success whatsoever. But I get it if there's maybe a couple Rockets fans, or maybe more than a few, that want to see him do well because he brought happy memories to you. But man,
yeah,
that
those
guy,
are the loyals and the hardcores, you know?
That guy spit in your face and said, I don't want to play for you guys anymore. See you later. And now we're supposed to cheer for him. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah. And you make a good point about the Chris Paul situation. And that's why Joel and I have talked about that in depth, specifically when it happened. And the Russell Westbrook situation is very interesting because you kind of got that vibe from other people about him. Like, nobody wants to play with Russell Westbrook. But then you hear other players talk about, man, yeah, I requested a trade, but Westbrook was one of the hardest working players I've ever played with. So I actually enjoy that. You don't see that or hear that from other players talking about James Harden. I can see the Brooklyn Nets team doing that right now because he's on that team. But yeah, it's a very interesting situation. 713-780-3776. Nick Sciarra with you. Jake Asman with you. ESPN 97.5. It's the Press Box. Joel will be back tomorrow. The Blitz will be on from 4 to 7. A YouTuber got another boxing fight. We'll talk about that next. And should he even get it? All that and more on the Press Box. It's Nick. It's Jake. It's Tyler on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
We were getting into this discussion in the break. Redheaded athletes. Now, I did tease the Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley fight, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I just Googled the best redheaded athletes of all time. Do you have any favorite redheaded athletes,
Jake Asman? I have tons.
Who?
Justin Turner.
Okay.
Andy Dalton.
We mentioned that in the Twitch. How about Shaun White? Are you a fan of Shaun White?
A huge Shaun White guy. I mean, come on. I mean, look, he's an Olympic gold medalist. He's a champion.
I just thought that was an interesting discussion because we were talking about it on the Twitch. But when I Googled it, I thought I'd get more names. But
Brian Scalabrine?
Canelo.
Canelo Alvarez.
That's a good one.
That's a great
one. That's a good one, Tyler. That's a really, really good one.
I didn't consider Canelo. But Canelo, I mean, that might be the best one we have in our species, if we're being honest.
No, Shaun White. Easily. Oh,
over Canelo Alvarez?
Yeah.
Man, that's a good
How many
question.
Gold medals has Shaun White won?
I don't know, but
a ton.
Yeah, but Canelo Alvarez is probably the pound-for-pound king in boxing.
And he's 30.
Yeah.
And he's more internationally
But he's also pound-for-pound, he's, what, buck 45?
Could Shaun White sell out Cowboy Stadium in the middle of a global pandemic?
Okay. He might.
Yeah, he might.
He might.
Doing what? Snowboarding?
Yeah, if they somehow had the Olympics, I tried driving from downtown Denver to Aspen one winter to go see Shaun White in the X Games, and we didn't make it because there was some stupid mountain pass that was actually closed during the winter. So we screwed ourselves following. This was back when TomTom GPS was around.
And you have to use MapQuest.
So TomTom GPS screwed us instead of Google Maps, we should have listened to. But we were willing to drive 3.5-4 hours to
go
see.
So you're a Shaun White fan. Big Shaun White fan.
You gotta respect the greatness.
Oh, I respect what he does. Don't get it twisted. I just thought that was an interesting conversation. And one name that popped up when I did this Google search that I had no idea. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a redhead?
Yeah, he's kind of.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not like.
I thought he just had brown hair.
I don't really consider Dale Earnhardt.
It's like a strawberry blonde guy.
I don't consider him a redhead.
You don't? Oh, I thought you were going to say you don't consider him an athlete. Because Juggalo Trey would have some issues with you, sir.
Well, speaking of redheads, I mean,
that's a solid redhead right there.
Which he is not an athlete.
Who, Juggalo Trey?
Yeah.
I question that.
Dale Earnhardt does not really have red hair. He's got like strawberry blondish kind of.
Yeah.
Look to him. It's not really red.
I just thought that was an interesting discussion.
Believe it or not, Charlie Pillow has had this discussion on his on his show.
Has he?
Was way back whenever I was producing, but yeah. And he talked about the greatest redheads to ever play
sports.
I'm telling
you, that's your dad. That's his dad.
I told you, that's my stepfather.
I'm telling you. Charlie Pillow won't claim him, but I'm putting news out here. All right, let's get to this Jake Paul situation. Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley, the former...
Friend of the show, Jake Paul, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
I had Jake Paul on my radio show at the Super Bowl last year.
When can we check this out?
It's an old interview. It was before his first ever professional fight.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what. Everyone that hates on Jake Paul, he could not have been nicer when we had him on the show for about 15 minutes.
I can see that.
A lot of what he does is just to sell a fight, get you interested.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Be a nozzle a little bit. Because you know what? It works because you're going to end up buying his pay-per-view and you care what he has to do. And he keeps rope-a-doping, you know, professional fighters to want to challenge him in the ring.
I think this might sound crazy, but I actually think this fight makes sense for Jake Paul. I actually think that's fine. My problem is these older guys that are, Jake Paul basically lives in their head, and it's all about this older guy trying to teach the young kid a lesson. And I just think that's a dangerous approach. All these people that are calling them out on Twitter, and it's everything from athletes to rappers to like rappers in their late 40s or 50s. And I just think that's the reason why all this is happening. Like when Floyd Mayweather, when he took Jake, and Floyd is not even fighting Jake. He's fighting his brother Logan. But when he snatched his cap and Floyd got all mad, like he should have just let him take the cap and walk away because he could have just laughed and made Jake Paul stupid. No, he got mad and it just made more headlines for the fight. And I just think it's dumb for him to do that. Now, in terms of proving himself, this makes sense. This is a former UFC 170-pound champion and Tyron Woodley. And yes, he's older. And yes, he's on a losing streak with the UFC. But you're still talking about a very dangerous opponent and a significantly better boxer than his teammate Ben Askren. What are your thoughts? Do you think this fight should even happen? I actually think it's okay. I think this one's more of a fight that makes sense than the Ben Askren fight.
I have no issue with it because, you know, you could say whatever you want about Jake Paul, but it went from, oh, this guy can't even box is a joke to, well, look at all the fights he's now won. Like, oh, he's not going to beat Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson... is a professional athlete, knocks him out. Oh, he's not going to beat Ben Askren. Ben Askren is, you know, a UFC fighter, knocks him out. We keep moving the goalposts with Jake Paul here and just say, oh, well, he's not fighting real fighters. He's not fighting real boxers. When at the beginning of all this, he was a joke. He can't be boxing. He's disrespecting the sport. And in reality, he's already proven he's not a scrub.
He has boxing skills.
Is he going to, you know, beat Canelo Alvarez in the ring? Of course not. But you know what? I give credit to a guy that's actually put the work in, both him and his brother, and actually represents himself quite well every time we've seen him in the ring. He deserves credit for that. And guess what? Boxing has done such a terrible job promoting its sport that, you know what? They could use the buzz and the eyeballs that a Jake Paul and Logan Paul can bring to the sport. Because ultimately, boxing's biggest issue is they get in their own way. We don't always get the best fights, and people have shifted to looking at the UFC. And, at you know, worst case scenario here, you're going to tune in because you're intrigued by what's going to happen with Jake and Logan Paul because they've done enough in their brief but impactful professional careers where you're actually kind of interested to see how it unfolds. They've done a great job promoting themselves, and by promoting themselves, Nick, they're promoting the sport that is boxing.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, and everybody knows me as an MMA guy, boxing is the best hand-to-hand combat you'll ever see. It's been around for over 100 years. It's not going anywhere, and it's not going anywhere because of MMA. And this is coming from an MMA guy. So the skills and the dedication that they put just into them throwing hands is incredible, and they're amazing athletes for it. So I don't think boxing will ever go away. The problem is this new trend of wild fights, right? These former NBA are stepping into the ring. The Game went at Jake Paul and said, hey, meet me at a... That's the kind of stuff that I don't want to see. And look, if Triller wants to run with this, the report that I saw was 1.3 billion pay-per-view buys on the last Jake Paul fight. Dana White swears up and down that those are not accurate, and maybe that's the case. But at the end of the day, if they're still being able to put these fights up, and look, Ben Askren said he's never had a payday this big. I think he said he's make $1 million or $2 million off of that fight. The money's got to be coming from somewhere. The attention's got to be coming from somewhere if they continue to put these fights up and they continue to be successful.
We just keep moving the goalposts with these guys. Look, is Jake Paul and Logan Paul, are they ever going to be, you know, boxing champions? Probably not, if I had to guess. But have they not done a lot to actually get people talking about the sport? That you can't argue. And, you know, the fact that it's now like, oh, well, you know, he's fighting, you know, another UFC fighter, but this guy is older. It's like, really? We went from, well, he's not fighting anyone, to now he's not fighting good enough opponents. It's only his fourth ever professional fight in regards to Jake Paul. if the guy's serious about continuing the box, he's going about it the right way as far as finding the right opponents and taking the next step up in competition, going from Askren to a guy in Woodley who's probably a much better striker than Ben Askren ever was.
Oh, there's no question. He's a much better boxer. He just turned 39 in April, and he's been on this losing streak with the UFC. But he had that little back and forth with Jake Paul, I guess either in the locker room or whatever, and I guess him and another boxer were going exchanging words, and he obviously had an issue with Jake. And look, I get it. Ben Askren is his teammate, and that tends to happen. When someone knocks out your teammate, you want to get in the ring for them and knock his ass out.
If somebody knocked me out, would you get in the ring?
I would destroy that person.
Okay.
Has someone done that?
No, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of mean people on these streets here in Houston. All
right, because I don't let any... You damn right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I just think that's... look, I think most people thought I was going to come on here and say, you know what? This is another dumb fight. I don't. I think this fight makes sense. I think this fight is a fight that tells Jake Paul, look, you're going up against a guy that has boxing skills. No doubt. He has a wrestling pedigree, but he's been training long enough to have boxing skills. My only fear is these guys that initially start with a wrestling background and then they try to improve their boxing skills. Those fighters kind of scare me in boxing matches, but it'll be interesting to see. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. It's the Press Box with Nick and Jake. No Joel Blank. He'll be back tomorrow. The Blitz from 4 to 7. All right, let's circle back to this Deshaun Watson situation, because I just think that it's a necessary... And you mentioned that June 1st was a very important day. Are you really still stuck on the whole value situation being very limited for Deshaun Watson, considering the headlines with the civil lawsuits?
Yes, I don't think you're getting multiple first-round picks for a guy that's facing a suspension right now. I don't see it. Maybe I'll end up being dead wrong, and there's a team that swoops in that maybe does their own investigation and is aware of things that maybe we don't know yet publicly. But how could a team acquire a guy with 22 civil lawsuits facing an NFL suspension? Plus, if he's not getting suspended, how do we know the team that doesn't acquire Deshaun Watson is trading for a guy that then gets placed on the exempt list? Which, for those who don't know what that means, that's basically paid leave.
Mm-hmm.
I think this ends up playing out where Deshaun shows up to Texans training camp, and then the NFL is like, whoa, we can't have you out there. We can't have you participate. It's a bad look for us. Paid leave. And Deshaun probably will like that, because he was going to sit out anyway, it looked like, if he didn't get traded. So now he gets his money. And look, I'm not a lawyer, but I have to imagine that Rusty Harden fella is not cheap. I'd imagine that Deshaun's got some expensive lawyer fees for that guy. So showing up and being paid to not play might be his best option at this point.
I don't know. How much do you think Rusty's actually making from that situation? God, he must be making some money.
I'll have to go back and find it, but Granato was talking to, I think, Florio. There was an interview that they did a while back, and Granato was telling Florio, he's like, he knows some people who have had to use Rusty Harden, and Rusty Harden like starts at $1 million.
Really?
Yeah. Like that's
well, he looks
like
a millionaire from his Instagram.
Well, yeah.
It's unreal. Have you followed him on Instagram? What he posts on his Instagram, he's like putting videos of like horses, and he's like, I've got a bunch of horses. Yeah. This is my favorite horse. I'm like, dude, like how much money are you making? But look, a guy like that who's established, who has a reputation, particularly in this market, is going to be able to command that type of money. It's just what he does.
These guys, both the lawyers, Busby and Harden, are, it's like, you know, you're watching like the two power players going at it in the area of law. It kind of reminds me of the show Billions, where you have like the Bobby Axelrod character against the Chuck Rhodes character. It's like you have two industry titans that are both equally smart going at it. And you have that basically with Harden versus Busby. I know, you know, these are serious allegations Watson's accused of, but from like the back and forth standpoint, you're talking about two of like the, you know, the top dudes at what they do going at it. And it's been playing out really in the media for the last couple months. There's been kind of a lull in Watson news, but I mean, come on. You're only going to keep Harden and Busby down for so long. I bet you by the end of the week, we get more back and forth between
Agreed.
Those two sides.
Agreed. No doubt in my mind. All right, you're listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, ESPN975.com if you wish to choose the digital stream. Tonight at 7:10, the Red Sox face the Astros again after the Astros defeated the Red Sox last night, 11-2. Garrett Richards versus Luis Garcia. But coming back, we'll start the final hour with a little bit of Texans before we get into your Astros. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.